VentureCast.
That's like one of the movies that I feel like my film kind of, I don't want to say emulates, but when I say the tone of my film, I always say it's kind of like across the tone of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Psycho, where it's just like a really messed up family. And basically, you know, there were also serial killers in all of those films. So it's really messed up family dynamic.
And the movie you're talking about is titled Wineville.
Yeah.
Very excited to see.
Yeah. The movie poster looks great. Like I love the, you know, great job with that. When can we expect to start to be able to see it?
Well, just real quickly to go back about what you just said about the poster.
Yeah.
We got so lucky and I'm so excited because the guy that did our poster is the guy that does all the Stephen King stuff. Mm. So I was like, my mom was like the biggest Stephen King fan. And so, which of course I became a huge Stephen King fan. And so to get the same guy to do poster, when he's friends with Robert, my boyfriend, who you guys know of, that's how the whole boy got introduced. But I was like, oh my gosh, so exciting.
Welcome, fellow Lushes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool, and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
Relax. We got this.
I am relaxed. I'm always relaxed. I'm always relaxed, especially when I got a little woohoo. Woohoo. All right. Welcome back. Is the bar open? Tavern's open.
Tavern's open. We got to go, man.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of Cocktails with Dimples in the Beard, the return of Brandi Roderick, PMOY. For you that don't know what that means, Playmate of the Year 2000.
You better know what that means.
N1. She's here to tell us all about her new movie, Wineville. So
looks pretty damn cool.
It does look good from an
indie. Well, we'll see. Yeah. Kind of indie horror movie.
You bet. So
in love. So let's get her in. Let's get her going. We don't keep a pretty lady waiting. Well, we're getting her on. Like, subscribe, share, comment about how beautiful this lady is and
how excited ugly we are
to talk to her. Oh yeah, compared to her.
Compared to anything.
Pretty much.
Anyway. So without further ado, the return of Brandi Roderick. Hello.
Hey guys,
how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
We are doing great. You have a beautiful backdrop there.
Yes.
Do you see my painting that I painted?
Did you really do that?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
It's very nice.
Yeah. I like it.
Figured I'd sit behind my bar today.
We're starting to get a lot of that. Like it's a theme now. A lot of ladies are sitting with a bar in the background and all these. So it works.
Hence, I mean, shoot, you want us to drink, so, you know, easy access.
Right. You run out, you bet.
And we
appreciate that.
We didn't have to ask you what you'd be drinking, so we got some wine. We're good to go.
But I got all kinds of fun stuff out here, too, just in case. You know, I got all the whiskeys.
Ooh. Okay. All right.
That's for after the podcast.
We can shift as well. I mean, when this bottle's out, we might have to go to something else.
Yeah.
If we run out of that bottle and go to whiskey, there won't be much of a podcast.
I know, right? So whose booty you got there on the background?
Who's what?
Whose booty?
Booty?
That? Amber Campisi.
Amber. Oh, I know Amber. And who else you got?
We got a couple of Miss Ashley Hobbs and Carrie Kendall.
Ashley Hobbs. Oh.
Yeah, we've started doing a second podcast with Ashley Hobbs that we just Yeah, it's called Ask Ashley, and we just take, you know, she's a big cannabis person, so we field questions from people and answer questions, and so we put it out once a month. And
does she do it from Hawaii?
Yeah, yeah.
So, nice.
Yeah. Very so cool. This thing is like we've said a million times, we never thought we would talk to one Playmate, and now we're, you know, not only have we talked to a bunch, we're doing a separate podcast with one. So things are going good for us.
Yeah. And then what is that shirt you're wearing? Terrifier 2?
Terrifier.
Do you love those movies?
I do. Yeah. Yep. And I was excited because we're talking to you about a horror film. And I read that, much like myself, you started watching horror films at a very young age.
Very young age.
Yes. That's what's wrong with us.
Mine was my sister, who's 7 years older than me.
Uh-huh. So
when I was like 8, her and her friend sat down to watch Nightmare on Elm Street. turned all the lights off and made me sit on the opposite side of the room and watch it with them. So,
You know what's so funny you say that, because that film, I think I was like 12 or 13, and you know, I'm an older kid, but I had to sleep in my parents' room that night. I mean, I was a teenager. Sleep on the floor in my parents' room. Wasn't that, you must have too. I mean, at 8 years old.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, like, I feel like the young, like at a younger age, maybe it didn't hit me quite as hard because I really, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, the psychological part of it, maybe you weren't getting like,
yeah. But the Exorcist at age 6 had to really freak you out.
Freak you out. Yeah.
Well, you know what the freakiest part was? Is when
her head spins in a circle.
Well, that would be freaky too. But for me as a little girl, when Aaron Blair, am I saying that? Is it Aaron Blair? Not
Linda,
Aaron Blair.
Linda Blair.
Linda Blair.
Taking the crossing. Yeah. And putting her on, stabbing her, you know what, and saying F me thing. That was like traumatizing for me.
Yeah.
Did you think at all like she's about my age or it could happen to me?
I don't remember exactly what I was thinking. I just remember that scene so specifically and being freaked out by that. But I don't recall being like so terrified, you know, like I was when I was 13, where I can really grasp everything.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't really know that you're supposed to be afraid of it at that age, right? Like you.
Like, is this how people really act? Like, I don't know, right? You're like, maybe this is normal.
We had to talk my mom into letting us watch the Texas Chainsaw Massacre
when we
were kids. And we heard all the stories that people were leaving the theater and puking. So me and my brother and friends, we all had our own bucket just in case. So we sat, put the video in. We were like, I think we even watched it during the day just in case. And
that's like one of the movies that I feel like my film kind of, I don't want to say emulates, but when I say the tone of my film, I always say it's kind of like across the tone of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Psycho, where it's just like a really messed up family. And basically, you know, there are also serial killers in all of those films. So really messed up family dynamic.
And the movie you're talking about is titled Wineville.
Yeah.
Very excited to see.
Yeah. The movie poster looks great. Like I love the, you know, great job with that. When can we expect to start to be able to see it?
Just real quickly to go back about what you just said about the poster.
Yeah.
We got so lucky and I'm so excited because the guy that did our poster is the guy that does all the Stephen King stuff. Mm. So I was like, my mom was like the biggest Stephen King fan. Which of course I became a huge Stephen King fan. And so to get the same guy to do poster, when he's friends with Robert, my boyfriend, who you guys know of, that's how the whole boy got introduced. But I was like, oh my gosh, so exciting.
That's awesome.
He did a great job. That really stands out.
So we just finished production and we got in a little bit late for a lot of the good big festivals, but we got in time for some of them. So we're excited that we've got 3 festivals coming out. So if you're in the in Los Angeles at the La Femme International Film Festival, we got accepted. We got accepted into Scarefest Weekend, which is in Kentucky.
Perfect place for it.
Yeah.
And then thirdly was Fort Lauderdale International Film Festival. So nice. Those, you know, if you want to come see it before it's actually out, and then we'll go out and sell it.
So one of those rough dates of that times in case, to try and make it.
Yeah. So La Femme International Film Festival is going to be October 19th in LA. Scarefest is the next, I'm flying right out the next day. So it's October 21st in Kentucky and that's in Lexington. So, you know, if you want to go bourbon tasting at the same time. And then Fort Lauderdale Film Festival is November 4th.
Nice. Okay. So you're going to be busy here this month.
Yeah. Very busy. It's like one stop, just keep going. So that way we can then, you know, do those festivals and then take it out and sell it. And then we'll see when it comes out. I don't know if they'll hold it until next Halloween or if they'll just release it whenever, because I think that with horror, it's so great because people watch it all year round. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And there's been such a resurgence of it that, yeah, this movie that I'm wearing the shirt for, Terrifier 2, was an indie film. The first Terrifier was made for like 25 grand. And then the second one was made for a couple hundred thousand. And now they've been picked up by a major studio and there's a Terrifier 3 coming out. And actually this one's going to be rerun in the theaters sometime in November, October.
Coming up, yeah.
So.
Well, you can watch that because I have seen that now a lot. And I saw researching these different film festivals that Terrifier 2 had shown at a lot of them. Because I was looking at a lot of, you know, strictly horror film type film festivals. And I saw that they had shown that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm gonna watch it now.
Yeah.
Well, and being a producer of the Wineville, now you're involved with all this selling and festivals and that, as opposed to just starring in the movie, correct?
Yeah. And one thing that's kind of cool, actually, you know what, the one film festival we're doing, Scarefest in Kentucky, is also a horror film convention. And they have, and also I'll be signing autographs there as well, but they have a lot of the cast from Terrifier 2 that's going to be their autographs.
Yeah, watch it before you go. And if you get into any conversations with them, tell them how awesome we are. We've been trying so hard to get people from the movie on, and we just have had no luck. So.
From that particular movie?
Yeah.
Well, I'll make sure I make some connection.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It is one of my favorite, the first one. I mean, the second one's great too, but always, you know, the first one of these kind of things is always, because it was original and... And
should I watch the first? I should watch that
first.
To watch the original. Okay.
The first one has, in my opinion, the best kill scene ever in and I'm not going to give it away or anything, but it has the best kill scene in a horror movie. So
I can't watch it now. Oh my gosh, I have to watch it.
Either you do, and you'll know which one it is he's talking about when you see it.
You're either going to send us a message and go, "You were right," or you're going to send us a message and say, "Never talk to me again."
Well, is it like really sick?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I would never say that to you because I have some really sick kill scenes in my movie too. So, yeah. Well, so I won't. Would never judge.
I love it.
So, well, let's get into that. A couple of the scenes. How involved were you in coming up with the kill scenes as opposed to the writer?
You know, the story was myself and the writer. So we together collected and created the story. So then he would go and write it up and then come back to me and I'd give my notes and then he'd give his notes and go back and write again and come back. And so it was definitely a collaboration. And there's some really... You know, we both had, well, I don't want to toot my own horn. I mean, I'm saying we both had great ideas, but
absolutely. We
collaborated great together and he had great ideas. I had great ideas. And then together, I feel like we came up with not just, you know, a slasher story with no, you know, no plot. We actually had a real serious plot.
Yeah.
So
do you want to get into the plot just real quick?
Sure. So it starts out, there's this young girl who was very much abused as a child, both mentally and physically by her family. Some bad things happen. So she runs away when she's 15, goes away for 27 years, and then gets a call because her father had passed away. So she has to come back to the vineyard, to the family ranch, to tie up the loose ends with the ranch, but her family still lives there, like her spinster aunt and someone else, some other ranch hands. And when she comes back, things are even more effed up. And she starts uncovering all of these crazy, horrible things that have happened over the years, even back when she was a child. So there's flashbacks when she was a child. But you just don't know if she's going to be able to get out alive. And she's bringing her now new, her 11-year-old son into the picture. And they are both have to go through some horrible, horrible trauma with this really intensely fucked up family. Can I say that word?
Yes, 1,000%.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Which, perfect.
Yeah.
Because I keep trying to stop, but they're a really fucked up family.
No. No, we're past the 7 seconds that YouTube makes us not say that word. So
okay.
Was the plot, was the story kind of directly from you, and then, or I mean, where did the
premise come
from? Yeah.
Well, it started because one of our very dear friends owns one of the oldest, if not the oldest, winery in Southern California. Hmm. And it is amazing, and it's old and beautiful but yet creepy, and so he said we could shoot our movie there because I wanted to do a horror film. I said, well, you can do it here. I'm like, are you kidding me, really? Mm-hmm. So we basically started it around that place, but I wanted my son to be in the movie, and so it had to be something where a mother would do absolutely anything to protect and save her child. So that was kind of the start of the premise and what the way it got created from there. And then between Richard and I just going off on all of our crazy sick minds came up with all the other stuff. So that's kind of where it started, was this bond between a mother and son, the location. And then from there, we just went on a tangent.
I'm curious, did people that know you well, did they see this coming? Because like us as outsiders who know you from Playboy and Baywatch and so, like, little shocked that you're talking about having this demented mind that can write kill scenes and all this kind of thing. Do your close and personal friends, they weren't shocked by this, or?
Close and personal friends know that I have a demented mind. So no, they weren't shocked. Other people that don't know me as well might be shocked. However, if you have followed my career, I've done, a few horror films, and sure. And I loved it. I got to do it. I was so excited. Like Dracula Ascension with Jason Lee and Craig Sheffer, Jason London. We got to do that, that movie, Hood of Horror with Snoop Dogg. So there's been, quite a few horror films. So I've always loved it. So I don't think people would be shocked that I'm doing a horror film, but the sick, demented mind part, probably.
Yeah, probably more so the writing, that you were involved in the writing than you're acting in.
Yeah, exactly.
So you get it on paper. At what point did you decide, I want to direct this because I don't want to let go of the direction?
Well, it was kind of a decision that was made between myself and Richard, the writer, and he's also one of my producers, that I would direct it, but he would be there with me and be my mentor, because that kind of really freaked me out a little bit.
That's huge to take on.
It was during production, it was hard being on set, acting, directing, and producing. Like, that is in the lead, not just, some little co-star role. So that was pretty difficult. And being the one that everybody comes to put out fires, like, there's no time for you to go over your script and try to be prepared or any of that stuff, because you're putting on your producer hat or, director hat. But I feel like Richard was there, with me the whole time. And so, and he's like a seasoned director who's amazing. So I felt very comfortable with him there. But next time, I will give myself a smaller role. I might not direct, but I'll always produce, because for me, that's the best part, is just starting it and finishing it and bringing it all together. I love creating the stories. Like, that to me is awesome. I love doing that, but I don't want to do the technical writing, because I'm terrible at grammar. But I love the storytelling. So for me, that's the fun stuff.
Yeah. What was it like having to direct your son? Was it fun to be able to yell at him
a different form of yelling?
In a different form? Like, I'm your boss now, not just your mom?
No. But he probably got sick at some points. But I had fun. I hope he had fun too. But, it was long nights, definitely.
Did you worry about the,
traumatizing him?
Yeah, traumatizing him from the movie?
Well, up until now, I was worried because he couldn't read the script. I'm like, you can't watch the movie. You can't show your friends the movie, because there's crazy stuff in there. Like, there's even incest, So stuff you wouldn't want like a 11 or 12 year old understanding or knowing about. But now he's 13, you know, it's been, you know, a year and a half. And so I might let him watch the movie. But yeah, it's really messed up. So I don't know.
You got to remember, you watched The Exorcist at 6. So he's.
Yeah, and you turned out perfect. You turned out fine.
No, that's the problem. That's why I'm so messed up in the head. No. yeah, no, I think that, you know, he knows enough, like, during the scenes and that's all fake. So, yeah.
And you just kind of.
Except, I have to tell you, there's a scene where I have to kiss a boy, and he freaked out. So his character had to walk in on us and freak out, but the whole time he was so mad at me, and he was giving me these dirty looks, and he was pissed off. He did not like that in real life.
That's mom.
It's just acting.
I'm curious what the boyfriend thought of it, because I've seen some photographs from the movie, and your co-star... pretty well put together.
he's fine. Like, he could care less about that stuff. He's so secure. Like, he's just like, oh, you're gonna make out with somebody today? Okay, have fun, you know. He just
it's so, which is good.
I couldn't be with someone that would be bothered by that.
Yeah
and sure. Even what was the movie I just did that came out like 6 months ago, Cowboy Cerrone, Project Legion. Oh, so okay. That had like a real intense scene and make out and stuff. So that one was even more, and he didn't care. And it didn't even bother face him when he saw it.
Oh. I'm gonna have to look for that. I like how many... I like Cowboy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cowboy Cerrone. Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he was. I don't even know. Is he still fighting at all, or did he?
I'm pretty sure he's retired now. Yeah, he just wants to be an actor now.
A hell of a fighter.
Oh.
That one's called,
what's that?
It's called Project Legion.
Okay.
If you do want to.
Absolutely. So I'm curious on producer that, as you mentioned, actress, producer that. So you're directing and you're saying go. In your head, you're saying as a director, we should do it one more time. But as a producer, you're saying, do I want to spend the money to film it one more time? Which direction do you go?
I go where the money is. I am producer hat all the time. That's the one thing that I was saying, that Richard was so great because he's done these low budget films before. And when we were casting, there were people that I was looking at. I'm like, oh, they're awesome. Look how crazy they are. And you know, nuts. But they were also nuts in their interview. And he's like, Brandy, you can't do that. He said, you have to get someone that you know is very seasoned, that's a professional, that can act nutty, but isn't really nutty, because when you're on a low independent film, they have to come prepared to the table and you only get one take. And I was like, thank God he steered me that way, because these other people that were all crazy and weird probably would have taken us like 10 takes to get the thing right. It would have been great because they're so crazy, but it just, we wouldn't have had the time for it. So he was so right. You really have to announce what was so wonderful about all of our actors. They came prepared. No one was ever unprepared. And we got it in one take. I mean, sometimes, of course, you have to take more. But the majority of the time, we were able to move along quite quickly and get it done.
How long was the filming process?
It was 12 days.
What?
2 day weeks. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
That's hustling.
That is, yeah.
It was a hustle every single day.
Yeah. I think actors and actresses that go that are into independent movies, they know that they're in, they're out.
Yeah, yeah, that's the standard. I mean, really, it's 6 day, 12 day, 6 hour days. Yeah, and you get usually Sunday off or whatever day.
And like Quentin Tarantino said, that he's like, half my directing is casting the right people. So then you don't have to, I think, pretty much say, go deal with what you just said, you know?
Exactly. I mean, we didn't have to do any, like, give any direction as far as acting. You know, everyone was prepared and awesome. And
did you have rehearsals leading up to it? Like roundtable rehearsals?
No. I mean, the night before we shot, I was supposed to go rehearse with... Texas Battle, who plays the sheriff, and I couldn't. I was too busy being producer and director and getting everything organized and doing everything myself. Mm-hmm. Organized. I'm sorry. We'll right be, you know, tomorrow morning while we're in the makeup chair, we'll go over the lines, you know, and that's what we did a lot of the time. We just did that in the makeup room.
Yeah. If you're busting that out in 12 days, you better be able to multitask.
Yes. It's, yeah, it was a lot.
Oh. I would imagine. Yeah. Not only in the acting, I want to touch on the special effects, because that too, if those don't work first time, second take, you got to have a great special effect crew.
Yep. And we did. We had a great,
obviously.
Practical. Yep. Vincent, oh my God, he would kill me. Gustani. Oh my God, he would kill me.
Vincent James Gustani.
Am I saying it right?
Oh, I don't know. I'm worse than you at saying names.
Anyway, oh my gosh, he's amazing. He's done every huge movie you can imagine. He's won awards and he's great.
Yeah.
But there were things that went wrong on set. And there were things that we had to end up fixing in post. And you know, when you're on a budget, things, you know, can't be perfect. And even if you have a big budget, still things will go wrong. It's just right. The way it is.
Yeah.
But
so what was the budget for blood on your scene? And I'm assuming...
Well, I had a...
Well, let me clarify, fake blood.
Yeah, no, I mean, there was a full budget for the practical effects. So I don't know how much of that was allocated to the blood, but we had guts and arms and legs and, you know, fake bellies that had to get cut open and guts coming out and all that kind of stuff.
I can't wait.
I know, I'm getting more and more excited to see this with it.
See, and that's why I love... like independent movies or low budget movies, because some people would be like, the acting is terrible or this or that. I'm like, but look what they did with no money.
Yeah.
That to me, that's amazing. I love that.
And you'll see, I mean, you'll watch, you know, you see all the crap that's out there, you know, that's on every streamer you can imagine. And you're hoping it's going to be good. Like, how did this get on there? You know? And I think about our film and I'm like, gosh, our film's so much better than so many of these films. Like it gets me excited. Like when you watch it, you're going to look at it and feel like it's a pretty good quality film.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
All the great, I feel like because I've been in the business for so long that I knew what I wanted to spend money on that was important.
Yeah.
You know, like the acting's important. We didn't have to get like, you know, big names, because as long as they were great actors in horror, it doesn't matter if they're famous or not, just as long as they're great actors, which we got great actors. My colorist was great. The special effects was great. The music, oh my gosh, the score, that was all great. So
yeah, music plays such a big part in a horror movie.
Yeah. Is it original score?
Oh yeah.
Oh, wow.
Score. Yeah. I mean, his wife does the cello and all the strings, and it was just, you know, it was all real instruments. It wasn't like they took it off some synthesizer and in a library, you know. It was like a real score.
That's
and
awesome.
Then of course I also bought music because it's based in 1978, so we went and bought real music from the 70s. I think we have like 5 songs in the movie from the 70s, so that was important to me, is to get some really cool music as well.
Nice.
Will there be a soundtrack?
The gentleman that did the score, Pete, he wants to do a soundtrack. So that's, you know, it's a possibility for sure.
So as a producer or executive producer, and I'm asking because I don't know, was that something like once it gets sold, then you would do the next step of a soundtrack and not, maybe you're not right away?
Exactly. I would have to wait till we sell it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I'm learning. What was the decision?
Learning as well. I mean, I'm learning all the whole way through.
Yeah, absolutely. What was the decision to set the movie in the 70s?
You know what? It was a friend of Richard's, Shankman, read the script and he said, you know what? This really sounds like a movie in the 70s. Like you guys should set this movie in the 70s. This was when the script was just finished and we were kind of sending it to some, you know, people that are really well known in the entertainment industry and that we trusted. and sent them the script. And this one particular person, you know, came back to us and really thought it would lend itself well to the 70s. And we were like, oh, we never thought of that. That's a great idea. Let me see how much more it would cost. Because then you have to, of course, rent the cars, which we had a lot of cars. I mean, not a lot. I think we had 5 cars. The clothing is going to be way more expensive. The staging and the props and all that from our production designer was going to be more expensive. But the more I like thought about and went back and reread it, I'm like, and this will make it more special. Like, I feel like people, and then again, it brought me back to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know, and Psycho's more mid late 60s, but still that kind of period piece. And so we just went for it. And I said, screw it, I'm going to do it.
Nice.
I definitely want to do it. So.
So once you make that decision and dive in, how much fun was it to pick out period clothing? Were you involved in the clothing or set?
I someone do that, but you know, I was excited to see everything she was picking out for sure.
Did you have to approve it?
Yeah, I had to approve it. Yeah.
Will you be you have someone that does it well?
That's
you trust them.
Will you be will you be rocking the feathered hairdo to the premiere or anything? Or
maybe. I mean, I should. But I already took out the extensions. You know, I put in the extension so I could have the Farrah Fawcett hair.
Yeah.
You know, feathers and all that. So I don't know if I can pull it off like I did in the movie.
It's a good choice. Anybody in our age range definitely had that Farrah Fawcett poster on their bedroom wall when we were growing up. So
absolutely.
That was cool. I was trying to get the Farrah look.
I think you nailed it. From the pictures I've seen from the movie, you nailed it.
Oh, good.
Absolutely.
Were there what other 70s horror movies images are lasting in your head from just growing up
from the 70s?
Any horror movie just from in your childhood, what images just you can't get out of your head?
Let's see.
Because, well, you're thinking, I'll just real quick. Because when I was younger, 100%, we should not have gone to this movie. My mom, my brother talked my mom into taking this. If you remember the Brian De Palma movie, Dressed to Kill, when Michael Caine dressed up as a blonde woman with
that was so good.
I saw that slasher in the elevator, I could not go in elevators for quite a while.
Oh my gosh. I bet. And you were a little kid and you're like, elevator.
Just a little kid. And me and my brother had our bedrooms in the attic at the time. And I remember coming home from that movie, going up the stairs, and I literally stopped and was like, I went back and talked to mom.
I'll sleep in the living room tonight.
I'll sleep down here with you, mom, tonight. Totally shouldn't have been to it. One of my favorite movies to this day, but that image of that blonde lady with a razor blade, I will never forget.
And then you were probably terrified just to even see a big man dressing up as a woman too. That was probably like a shocker.
The whole premise, but
actually it's why he dresses like a woman in his spare time now.
Yeah.
I leave the razor blade at home.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome.
But I feel that like you kind of shaped me as I went, but,
Yeah, right. I mean, there are some, like, I definitely remember, I mean, I was young when the Friday the 13th were coming out and watching all those from the,
Love those. And, you know, my kids and I will always go back and watch all the original movies. Like, we'll watch, you know, around Halloween, we'll watch Halloween, Friday the 13th. And then it's so funny when you go back and watch like the very first Friday the 13th. I think we watched it last Halloween. It's just so cheesy now. And when we watched it, which was so stupid, I guess we watched on some channel where they took all the good stuff out. So they took out like a lot of the blood and guts and different scenes and stuff. And so I was like, wait, I remember it being scarier than this.
Yeah.
But they had out a bunch of the stuff.
Well, I do think when you go back and watch some of those movies from that, when you know you were, they scared the shit out of you back then. Now you watch them and you're like, what was I thinking? Like this, there's nothing really compared to what they're doing now.
What the one that I watched that I really liked, and I'm trying to remember, oh gosh, was it Last House on the Left? Or what was the one where the woman went to stay in this like cabin on a lake, and she kept going out, and she kept, these guys kept coming back and raping her and attacking her. It was like a huge,
I spit on your grave.
Yes. Spit on your grave. Oh my gosh. I watched that before we started the process, and it was just so good. And I was like, this is such a good movie.
Yeah.
And banned at the time when it came out. Yeah. But,
oh, really? You got banned? I didn't know that. Wow. In all a the few... sexual.
Right. Right. Where it was literally a woman revenge movie, but
yeah.
And they had, they had to make it bad at the beginning, drive her to revenge, but it was banned. It was banned in a lot of cities and countries, but now it's a classic, and it's hard to watch some of the scenes.
Yes.
But it's a great movie.
Good. So good. And I watched one that they color corrected, and it looked like it's so pristine and so good.
I go back to what I said. I mean, at the time it was low budget, and got to give props to that actress to go through that.
I know.
You can say it's acting, but you watch that. She was not a pampered actress. She was not beaten, but she went through a lot to get to the even just filming that movie. So that's why I appreciate that as well.
So Richard Shankman from my film, he directed the I Spit on Your Grave, like I think number 3 or something.
Number 3, yeah, the remake.
Yeah. Well,
once they remade it, then they went and made 3 more or 2 more.
Is that how that worked? They remade the original, right?
And then they made the original, and then the original, because they never had of the original, they never had a sequel, but they had remade it and they had 2 sequels after that. So I saw that he directed the 3rd one.
Yeah.
To continue her story, which.
Nope.
We actually have a Lost podcast. We'll see if it ever comes out. We filmed it. We watched the movie Cannibal Holocaust, which is banned or was banned everywhere. And we watched it one night and then talked about it. But we've never put it out. And we'll see if it ever sees the light of day. But
did that ring a bell?
No. When was that?
It was made early 70s. It's called Cannibal Holocaust.
Okay.
And it's exactly what it sounds like.
Yeah.
But the story is, it's true, because I've researched it, is the director was arrested and had to prove. So what he did was he brought out the movie, and then he, part of the contract, as you were an actor or actress of it, you kind of had to lay low for like a month. And because they wanted to portray it as
like a
lost documentary.
Oh, okay.
So when they came out, they arrested him, and he had to have the actresses prove they were still alive for him to get out of jail.
Oh my gosh. So they really believed it.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
So I bought it, and we set up film to react, our reaction watching it. And it is what it is.
Watch. Sure.
Yeah, it's got a legend behind it, or a stigma behind it.
Right.
Yeah. Hello, Cannibal Holocaust,
Okay.
I just to feed your demented mind, that's all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it has to be fed,
So back to your movie, you talked about your cast, and one of your cast members, Carolyn Hennessy, is somebody people will know. I recognize her from Cougar Town. I love the show Cougar Town. Yeah. So how was she to work with?
Oh gosh, she is like hands down Margaret. Like she just played that character so well. Like I can't wait for you guys to watch it and see how great she was, because you're used to seeing her as, the beautiful, proper, Carolyn Hennessy. And you've seen the pictures probably of what she transformed into. And she's just so believable and so good. Great to work with her. She was in, kind of in character a lot, so it was a little scary a little bit to be around her. But she's just such a lovely lady.
Well, she's, I think when you talk about casting the right people, the professionals that can come in and get it right on the first try, somebody who's been doing it and knows what they're doing, she's what you're talking about, right?
100%. And she had already, with my first AD, my first assistant director, he had worked with her in the past, and so he had known that she was a complete professional and awesome. So he was giving her the thumbs up. And I think there was one other person that also worked with her that was giving the thumbs up. So yeah, complete professional.
Nice.
Yeah. She, and I enjoy watching her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I did see an article that I think stemmed from your website, which the website for this movie.
Yeah. It's well done.
It's well done. You guys got, I love how they just, you show everybody that was involved.
Yeah.
You know, the names and that's, to me, that's really cool and interesting to watch. So well done on the website. So everybody go check it out. Wineville.com.
WinevilleMovie.com.
Wineville movie.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Where was I going with this?
I don't know.
Oh, then I got a link that said about Caroline.
Oh, yeah.
Was she's unrecognizable.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The article that I think it was Soap Digest did about her.
Yeah. Years at General Hospital, but yes, I can't. Yeah. Again, like he said, the more we talk, the more I'm excited to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I've never seen her on General Hospital, but she's been in enough other things that you, I mean,
right.
If she was, if she looked like herself in the movie, you would certainly recognize her.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm going to give it to you guys early so you can talk about it. I will at some point give it to you guys so you guys can watch it.
That'd be awesome. We would love that.
Oh,
I'm curious. When you Google your movie, the Wineville chicken coop murders come up. Is there anything? Is there any correlation between the two? Or is
The only correlation is the fact that we do make mention that the house that we're shooting at is literally on the same street where the chicken coop murders took place.
Shut up. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah, it really did. So it's on Wineville Road. So we make mention of it. Myself and the sheriff talk about how we were kids and the chicken coop murders just happened right down the street. Because, nice, you know, it happened in the 20s, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice. Nice. Okay.
It's a little creepy.
Yeah, I had never heard of it until I started, you know, researching this, and then you go to that and you find it's, was it a mother and a son who abducted little boys? And
it was a man who abducted boys. And if you've ever, so you've never seen The Changeling with Angelina Jolie?
No.
Yes.
Oh. You have. Yeah. That's the story. So you have to, you need to watch that. Like it's so good, but that is the chicken coop murderer. Yeah, from that movie.
All right. Oh, I did not.
I've never seen it. I'll have to watch it.
It's a good movie.
Great. It's hard to watch, but it's good.
You're right. It is hard to watch.
Yeah. So it's when you're watching the movie, you'll see that's the guy that was kidnapping the kids. That house, it was on the same street where we filmed, right down the street.
Wow. And I actually have it. So I'm going to.
Yeah.
I might have to revisit. Well, it's one of those that you're like, wow, I really love that movie, but it's hard to watch. So you got to be in the mood to go back to it. But
you might not have realized it was a true story. Maybe when you watched it,
I read it that it was. So I knew that it was a true story, but the connection of what you're talking about tonight is just fascinating to me all over.
So also, just to give you a little backstory. So the town where we shot was Mira Loma in Southern California, but because of the chicken coop murders, so back when the 20s, that town was called Wineville. And because of the chicken coop murders and because of the horrible press it was getting, because it was a wine growing wine region, and it was getting this horrible press, they had to change the name of the town. So they changed the town to Mira Loma, but it originally was called Wineville, which is why I wanted to make the title Wineville is the original town name.
Oh, Wineville. Nice. I love the tie-ins.
And, you know, we shot on Wineville Road, so.
Wow. The house. Yeah. So what is the history behind the winery that you shot at? You said it's one of the oldest winery in?
It's either one of or the oldest winery. And back then, like, that was the biggest wine region, like thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of vineyards. And I don't know how many they have left. I don't know. They might have like 1,000. I'm not sure. But yeah, it was like the biggest wine region. And now it's like very industrial, but they're still there. And there's still, a bunch of, I don't know about a bunch, but maybe a handful of wineries around there.
What is the wine that comes from that winery?
They make all kinds of wine. So, you know, everything. But they were actually really big on port, which, oh, here's their port sitting right here. Galliano Winery. This is their award-winning port.
Nice.
90th anniversary. I don't know when this was, but yeah. Wow. 90 double gold. Yeah, no, they make all kinds of amazing wines. Galliano.
Awesome.
So at the end of the shoot, did you end the day with a glass of wine? Right there with the winery?
Well, why at the end of the day? I mean, what?
The movie's called Wineville.
Yeah.
Somebody had to get through the day somehow.
Silly me.
Wine for breakfast, wine for lunch.
Is that what rosé is for, is breakfast wine?
Yeah, there you go.
That's what they said.
Because it was like, it was so hot. You know, it was end of June, July. And they made these wine slushies. So you'd feel like you weren't really drinking alcohol, but when you're so hot, you'd want to go get one of those wine slushies because it just helps you feel better.
Refresh, absolutely.
Nice.
We wouldn't want that at any movie set.
Right.
Exactly.
Or any podcast set.
Exactly.
So are you, I wanted to touch on some of your other projects you got coming out, but I don't know if you're allowed to talk about them with the writer's strike and everything. Is there anything that you can't talk about? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm curious about this. I'm trying to find the Terry R. I can't read my own writing.
Wickman's
Anomaly.
Oh, you know what? I don't know where he's at with that. You know, he's in pre-production, so I haven't heard much on when or what's going on with that.
Okay. Just from the description on IMDb, it sounds like an interesting movie. So
I'm excited about it. I hope we can get it together soon, but again, you have to get your waiver and all that stuff to do it.
Yeah.
And the same with with Twisted Vines that just came out now last month in August. We weren't supposed to promote it or really talk much about it, which is silly because it's not a studio film. It was an independent film. So I don't know why we're not, you know, they weren't part of the big studios that are there in contracts with. So, but we weren't allowed to, but so that came, that's out. So that was, Twisted Vines with Vivica Fox and Michael Paré.
Oh, nice.
Remember us talking about that last time that you were.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. So that finally came out. Did you guys ever end up watching that or get to see it? No,
okay. We haven't yet, but we will.
No, I will.
Okay. And you know, that's a fun murder mystery, like Clue type of movie. And I like so that. But it's just too bad that it's happening during the strike, you know, these films.
Yeah.
So is that holding you up from your next project? I mean, is there anything you can work on now with the strike? I don't know how that affects, again, independent.
No. But... Yeah, no, I think for pre-production, what I'm doing, it's fine. It's not going to, the thing that's going to hurt us is the selling of my film now.
Sure.
Because old, no one's buying anything yet, so I'm hoping by the time we're done with the festival circuit that they'll be ready, up and running again and purchasing. Well,
that's a good point. We were kind of worried about it, but the festivals are going on, so because it's already in the can, it's done, so you can, it's that you can't do anything, produce anything new.
Well, and also film festivals are typically for the most part independent films.
Sure.
So big studio films, that is the strike is with the big studio films, not the independent people. So there's really no issues with the festivals.
So do you have more twisted, demented stories in your head? Will you be doing more horror movies after this one, or?
Well, the next two things I'm working on are series, and it's definitely twisted and demented for sure. This what I want to do, but it's not horror. It's more like thriller, sick. It's going to be sick because the way that we kill people is pretty disgusting. But it's not going to, I guess, is that horror? It's not really horror. It's more like crime, thriller, killing, kicking ass action.
Perfect. That sums it up.
I like it. I like it.
The other story, and it's based on loosely, and that's going to be based on true stories. The next, the other one is also true stories. And that one's going to be more of a TV show to, without getting into it, because I don't want to tell my ideas, but it's hopefully going to help with trafficking of people.
Oh, all
right. So
that one, yeah. That one, I can't wait for that one. We should be doing more of.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll, nope, go ahead.
I was just gonna say I was really inspired by Sound of Freedom. I mean, I'm sure that that you guys have seen that, and it's just, it's like, oh my god, it was just really tough to watch. And I was like, everybody needs to see this. Like, this is crazy that they were trying to hold this back from people seeing this film, because everybody needs to see it.
Yeah,
there's, I don't understand how. Well, we don't want to get into it. Why they held it back, but yes, there should. Yeah. Everybody should see it. Everybody should be supporting it. Everybody should be saying we need more eyes on it like this.
100%.
So, yeah. So good. I'm glad that you're inspired to do more, because I'm hoping that more people are inspired to do more.
I hope so too. You know, you always want to help the ones that can't help themselves. I mean, it's just
And obviously children can't. So that's they need the most help when it comes to that.
Yep. 100%.
I'm glad we did that before I interrupted you with this question, because it would have seemed really, really frivolous at this point. But I'm hoping you and Robert will be getting drunk and doing funny things on the internet some more, maybe once your life settles down a little bit.
You know what? I don't know. I think I'm like done with that for now. Yeah. I don't, it's too hard to do it when, with the filmmaking now, it takes up all my time, you know, between that and, you know, family life and all that. It's tough to, because you guys know hand, how hard it is to put these things together and what it takes for pre-production, the production, and the post-production, putting it all together. And it takes a lot. And with my other jobs, it's tough. It'd be tough.
For sure. For sure. Well, anybody who hasn't seen them, go back and watch. There's some videos of you guys eating spicy chicken wings and
fun
blind taste fun. Testing wines and stuff. And you're a lot of fun.
Counting the 40-ounce beers.
Oh, like, yeah, that's right.
And ziplining trunk, you know, there's all that fun stuff. That Brandy Roderick TV on YouTube. So.
And they're going to want more. Anybody that watches wants more.
There are so many sides to Brandy Roderick. That's all I know. Like,
so many sides. Is that because I'm a Gemini? That's why there's the twins, so we're both crazy.
are they both
inside you?
They are. But what I always say is, yes, you know, I am a Gemini, so I do have two sides. I said, but they're both good. Both my sides are good.
Yeah, they absolutely, might be,
but both are good-hearted.
and they're doing fun projects that we absolutely can't wait to see. And we're so happy that you came on our little podcast to promote it. And
we asked earlier about when the festivals are, so we can see.
We'll get it out before the festivals, so that people know when it is. And
that'd be great. And just go to, you know, follow Wine the Movie has its own Instagram, so we'll always post stuff on there where you can see it. And also winevillemovie.com, you can get info on that as well.
I do want to ask one more question. Has your son come to you and said, "Mom, I want to act more. I want to try go to auditions"? Or
I thought you were going to ask if he wanted a raise.
Without
no, he's done.
He's done.
Yep, he only wants to do football. But he did say, "Mom, I only want to do movies that your friends do or that you do, because I don't want to audition. I just want the job."
You raised a smart kid,
right? Oh, that's, I love it.
That's fantastic.
I love it.
Yeah. But he's into his football stuff right now, which, you know, being a teenager and having fun, so that's okay.
Which he should. So if he hasn't, I was kind of alluding to, did he get the bug where he's like, "No, I just want to go.
Too much work for a kid. He's good. He just wants to go have fun and play football.
All right. So,
all right. Yeah. I can hear that. Yeah.
And the bummer is he's going to go to, you know, go to school and be like, I mean, I made a movie. And they're like, prove it. I can't watch it.
Right. Right. I know. It's like none of your friends can watch this movie.
But they will. Once it's out, they will.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make an edited version of the movie for him and his friends to come over and watch it. So I'm going to cut out like the incest stuff. And I don't care about stabbing and the guts and the killings. Like, I don't care about that. It's the incest stuff. I need to take out. But I think I'm going to do that for him.
Nice. Well, that's a wonderful mom right there to help him embrace it and go, you never know. Maybe he'll continue on later on when you got when you have another role for him.
Yeah, exactly. That I can just give him.
I love that answer.
Perfect.
Because he likes money. He just doesn't want to have to audition for it.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him.
Yeah.
More fun when it's a sure thing.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you so much, Brandy. We appreciate it.
And, thank you.
We will make sure to promote for you and tell people to go watch your movie. So,
all right. Cheers. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Cheers to horror.
Mm.
Yes. Woo!
Have a good night.
Yeah. Okay, guys. We'll see you later.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously, though, get your asses out of here.
Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices. I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electricast. Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Peter.
We're the founders of Electricast Media, bringing you great podcasts like Nightmare Road Stories, Tech Talk Revolution, and Bodacious Minds.
Electricast networks include Ruby for female empowerment, the Best Business Network, and GPN for geopolitics. We built this company to create community and amplify diverse voices, and we really appreciate your support.
So, keep listening to Electricast podcasts and hear the culture.
Electricast. Electricast.